This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's go to one stat per game. We'll get ahead of ourselves with a big weekend ahead of ACC sports. And we're going to kind of, typically we've done this in football. Sometimes we've done it in basketball. Here's where we're going to go. We're going to go baseball, softball, baseball, lacrosse, baseball. I mean, it's all over the place. Ready? Here we go. Let's start with baseball. Notre Dame, Boston College this weekend. Big baseball series for the Irish, right? Dating back to last season, the Irish have won their last five conference road series for the first time since joining the ACC. They've not accomplished that feat since 2000 and 2001 when they won six road series in a row between the two seasons. And oh, by the way, they went to the College World Series in Omaha in that time frame, too. There you go.
I will give you a heads up. Give you a heads up, BC. Two things. Number one, Notre Dame's baseball team is really good. All they do is win two of three. They're not a kind of a sweep effort. It's a two of, they've just two out of three'd everybody, right? And issue number two, if they wear those all green uniforms, don't like those. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of the all green and the, you know, that just does not work for me. But their baseball team is getting the job done. They have been a great national story along with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. All right. Next is softball. Florida State, Louisville this weekend. FSU hasn't lost to an ACC opponent since February 21st, over 2 months ago, since their last loss over a month ago to Auburn. Remember, that was a kind of a series that Lonnie told us they were just hopping in a van and going up there to play because they were trying to get something scheduled, right? FSU has 3 4-game sweeps and 1 3-game sweep over ACC opponents, Pack.
Florida State and Clemson are smoking hot. I mean, untouchable. And I said this a couple times already this week. Unfortunately, we will not get that series in the regular season. So if you see Florida State and you see Clemson on your schedule, and I'll throw Virginia Tech in there too with Keely Richard striking out everybody, prepare yourself because they are really, really talented.
Yep. All right. Let's switch to baseball. Virginia Tech, NC State. These teams haven't played since 2018. Don't ask me how that happened. Wolfpack have won 10 of their last 12 games they've played against the Hokies. We've been talking about how the Hokies get after it at the plate. Let's see what happens this weekend with those two schools.
Be careful where you park. That's all I'm going to tell you with this. Be careful where you park because if unfortunately they tell you, hey, we're filled up and the only place to park is in the outfield, beware. I'm just telling you because these teams pound it. Just be careful where you park.
That's true. In Raleigh at Dale Park, most of the parking is behind the ballpark.
I know, you're safe.
Like
that's why I said
behind the grandstand.
That's why I said if you get there and they say, "Hey, we're filled up with parking. The only parking's over there in the outfield. Find a spot. Just be careful where you park, because they will hit something deep in that joint." Now, both those teams.
But you're saying if you're over there in left field at Lee Dorm, be careful if you walk out of the building during the game.
I'm giving you fair warning, so don't come in here Monday going, "Man, you're not gonna believe what happened to my windshield." Yeah, I can. I tried to warn you on that deal. These teams hit it hard.
All right, women's lacrosse is. Next on this list is women's lacrosse. Yes, I was right. We got a lot here.
Are you all right? Do we need to get that cup of coffee to you? Because I'm worried about you today. I really am.
We'll be there in a minute.
Okay.
Next is lacrosse on the women's side. Louisville and Notre Dame. Louisville's number 17 in the country by inside lacrosse, despite only having won a single conference game this season. Louisville has lost their last five against the Irish.
Well, there's a gentle toss to the ground. I've said all I need to say about lacrosse in this league. Again, every time we put up a highlight of lacrosse in this league, whether it be men or women, you'll see the logo of the team, and you're going to see a number beside their team. And in all likelihood, it'll be single digits. In all likelihood. I mean, Louisville's 17th, and it's like, man, I'm just telling you, the lacrosse in this league is so good that I know people are probably sick of us talking about it, but I'm just telling you, if you haven't sampled it yet, do yourself a favor. You will be highly entertained.
There you go. All right. Florida State and Georgia Tech play baseball after being on the road four of the last five weekends. The Jackets are going to finish the season at home in four of the last five. They are 8-9 at home this season, by the way, at Russ Chandler Stadium at McNeese Ballpark. But Danny Hall and the Jackets back to the friendly confines this weekend. 7:30 tonight, game one on ACCNX.
Always a good series with those two. I mean, they've traditionally always had good baseball programs, and regardless of the venue,
no doubt,
those two normally put on a pretty good show. So I expect that to be a very competitive series this weekend.
All right, Boston College and Syracuse, who played a great lacrosse game yesterday, back at it again this weekend. As a result of yesterday, BC can lose by 9 and still finish second in the conference thanks to the gold differential tiebreaker pack. I'd love to see you in the room when they work on this. Both teams would finish one loss to each other and one loss to Carolina. The goal differential would get the Eagles ahead.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I'd have an issue at all with a tiebreaker. Math is not a problem for me. I'm pretty good with numbers. You, on the other hand, they'd put you in a plastic room and just let you bounce against the wall trying to figure out a tiebreaker.
That's exactly right. Syracuse and Virginia on the men's side. Syracuse is 12-3 in its last 15 regular season road games, dating back to 2017. I would say this one might be rather large, and it's on ESPN2 tomorrow at noon, by the way. That game has been moved over to ESPN2. That's a great stage for number 5 Virginia and number 11 Syracuse.
Syracuse, I know we had Paul Carcaterra on, who knows all. This kind of feels like a really important game for Syracuse, right? I mean, given where they are, as great as this league is, there's always somebody on the bottom. And right now, that would be Syracuse on the bottom. They got some work to do, and they wore out Virginia the first go-around, and you know Lars Tiffany and the boys remember that one. So these two know each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody. Roll up your sleeves, get to work. That'll be a good one.
All right. Carolina and Miami meet in baseball. The Tar Heels are tied for the lead in home run in the ACC, 17th in the country with 46. We just had Alex Torral on the show. Miami's hit 27 home runs over their last 16 games. So maybe you want to make sure the car park at the Bosch is in order this weekend, too.
Yeah, they're going to be hitting it hard there, too. There's no question about it. Miami's been so streaky, right? I mean, there's been times where they've gotten swept. Yeah. There have been times they brought out the brooms. They beat up on Clemson last week, and so they're playing with a ton of momentum. And for North Carolina, kind of a spiky year for the Heels. They've had runs where they've looked really good. They've had some moments where, like the other night against Coastal Carolina, they couldn't get anybody out. So, again, another good series. Yep. Man, baseball is coming down the stretch here. We're past the halfway point. Louisville-Pitt, we're unfortunately not going to get that series this weekend. We were looking forward to that based on the COVID stuff. So that was going to be, in my opinion, was going to be the highlight series of the weekend in baseball. But we still have some good ones.
There you go. Our final one of the one stat per game this weekend as we bounce around the league is in women's lacrosse with Duke and North Carolina. That's number 1 and number 7. Carolina has scored 10 or more goals in 30 straight games, outscoring 2021 opponents by 150 goals through 14 games, Pac.
A juggernaut is what
is.
That's pretty good. And they are so dynamic and tough. And but you know what? Listen, it's Duke and it's North Carolina. I keep telling you, it doesn't matter what the sport. Intensity will be high. It will be fierce. And we'll see what happens. But North Carolina, really, really good.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's a Friday. Tons of stuff going on. We just gave you one stat per game. We didn't even get to like ACC golf because it's getting cranked up today down in Georgia, amongst other stuff. We also have soccer on the brain because next week it's go time for the men and the women. And lo and behold, look who's back playing again. The Noles, Florida State. And look who is back on the show. Because I'm telling you, she's coming to a television network near you as soon as she's done with all this
ACC
stuff.
ACC Network, here we go. Get ready.
Kristen McFarland
is opt out for ACC Network.
Kristen McFarland joins us again. Kristen, first of all, how are we doing? We haven't talked to you since last year. We talked about becoming a sideline reporter. And, man, we really haven't even seen you guys play in so long. So it's going to be cool to see Florida State. So, first of all, how are we feeling? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. You know, when I heard I got the opportunity to be back on you guys, I jumped on that so quick. I was like, I miss them, you know? I've been doing awesome. And the team's been doing great. And we're just really excited to get out there and play some games and compete for a national championship.
But Kristen, isn't this weird? I mean, like now all of a sudden we get to do this as opposed to when typically it happens. I mean, how have you kind of, for lack of a better term, how have you guys stayed cohesive through this process?
Definitely. You know, I think COVID has posed a lot of challenges for our team, and it's a little unorthodox the whole season, but the way we've stayed together and stay connected and, you know, coming into practice each day and focusing on that mission and focusing on getting better, it's kept us cohesive, and I think it's made us a stronger unit altogether.
Okay, you know, let's go right to soccer. Here's what I'm concerned about. Have we got updated resume tapes? Have we been working in front of the camera? Are we doing some radio interviews? Because, listen, I know you're incredibly talented, all right? And I also know that, hey, when this soccer thing's over with, you want to get in front of the camera and be a big TV star, which you have huge potential. So what have we been working on up and – forget the soccer for a second. What have we been working on from a career perspective? Because I know you're thinking about it.
Definitely. You know, I've been practicing being on camera. I've been practicing speaking. I've been watching my girl Erin Andrews and studying her. I will always love her. Even though she's a Gator fan, I know we've been over that. But right. I've been studying a lot.
I like it. So, listen, right. I'm just telling you, I know you expect a long run in this NCAA tournament, which gets cranked up next week, because you're going to be a factor. But, you know, we got to think big picture here. So whenever we can be of help for the television crew, the only thing we don't want you to do is to come rolling in here and go, listen, those two old dudes you got in the morning, you need to spruce this up. Let me take over Packer. And that's the only thing that we just want from you, because when you hit the airwaves, you're going to be a big star, right? Just
Thank
telling
you.
You. So we just don't want you taking our jobs yet. So just be nice to the old guys.
All right.
Is that a deal? All right. That's a deal.
That's a deal.
All right. Wes, you can get back to soccer now.
Pack,
we got that straightened out. Our careers are safe.
You want to go back to soccer. Okay. Yeah. Well, at least for a while. Kristen, it would seem to me, because of the success you guys have had in the national tournament, regardless if it's in April or May or if it's in November, December, like it typically would be, that's okay. But still, the process of getting ready for this event, and we were talking to goalkeeper at Clemson earlier, George Marks, this week. While all that feels different, it's still what it is. I mean, it is still the NCAA tournament, right?
Absolutely. And you know what?
So what changes? What changes now?
I think that it is still an opportunity to go and compete for a national championship. And no matter what teams are in or how different this looks or, you know, being in a bubble, it's still that opportunity to compete for a national championship. So no matter how weird it seems, it's still that title at the end. It still means the same as one that's, you know, not in COVID.
Playing professional teams, how does that help? But from a mental aspect, I mean, forget the physical part. We get that. You got to stay in tune and everything else. But from a mental standpoint, seeing professional teams, Kristen, what does that do for you, big picture?
Yeah. Big picture, it's a great opportunity to, you know, see how you compare to pros, really. I mean, most of these players at FSU have aspirations of playing professional soccer after college. So to be able to measure yourself to these pros really helps you mentally focus on what you need to work on and how you can get better. So I think it's a great measuring tool.
All right. So, but, you know, we always hear about, you know, exhibitions or, you know, basketball pickup games or football workouts or whatever the case may be, where guys from college or girls from college may scrimmage, play pickup ball, whatever, against pros. You're actually doing it in an exhibition. So what have you learned is the difference between being a great collegiate player and then playing against NWSL players who, by the way, I'm going to guess a good percentage of those players also have European contracts too and play, you know, around the world as well. So what's the biggest difference you notice in those exhibition games?
When you play against pros, it all comes down to the finer details. And those details, you know, doing the right thing, all the little details about checking your shoulders, making sure you're in the right positions. It's those little things that take you to the next level. And I think being able to play those pros really showed us what it's going to be like at that next level and helps us when we go and play college teams to kind of have that more pro mentality.
Give us something about Coach Krikorian that the outsiders wouldn't know. I mean, you've been in the program now for a number of years. You're an old grizzled vet.
You're right. I am. I'm an old timer.
So give us something about Coach that we would know. Because he's an interesting guy.
He very much is. He's a great guy and a great coach. And something I've learned from him is, you know, when we go into these games – and we're against any opponent, you know, he always tells us, don't worry about the logo, the team, the name on the jersey. Respect the game, respect the players, and respect yourself. And really go in and play with your finest effort like it's the national championship game. Because, you know, every game you can be out. So I think he's instilled that in us, and that's made us a greater team and even myself a greater player.
All right, and I'm going to follow up with that. Give me something about him personally. On game day, is he a nervous type? Is he a yeller? Is he a chill? Is he the rah-rah guy? I mean, how would you define him?
No, he is definitely just very calm and collected, and he treats us like pros. So he's very calm and collected, and we are the ones he knows that we will take the responsibility, and he's very good at just giving us the information and knowing and trusting that we will apply that information and you know, ultimately being a pro.
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, he's done a phenomenal job. All right, Kristen, we're going to switch gears here with you because, number one, I think it's something you can help us with from a student-athlete perspective. Mark and I have spent an inordinate amount of time, especially here right around the NCAA basketball tournament and the weeks out, talking about name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm. Do student athletes talk about that? I'm just curious. We know that it's a lot of discussion is based in football and in basketball worlds, but you're at a part of a program that certainly could have some name, image, and likeness opportunities. Do student athletes think about that? Are they talking about NIL the way we are?
Definitely. You know, it's an incredible opportunity as a student athlete, and especially at a program like this where you could benefit extremely off of that. And I think, you know, we're talking about how we can build our brand and how we can start building our brand younger and how we can, you know, make something out of who we are and what we stand for and what we want to do ultimately down the road in our career. I think definitely a lot of people, especially on my team, have been talking about it.
Chris, in a perfect world, if I give you total control, who would be the perfect sponsor with you? If you could say, I'm giving you carte blanche, you pick whatever you want that says really defines who you are and what you're about, who would be the perfect sponsor for you?
I think this might be a little cliche, but I'm going to have to go with Nike. I love Nike. I love what they stand for. You know, just do it. Just grind it out. Just get it done. We're sponsored by Nike here. So I love their clothes. I love their fit. But, I'm going to say Nike.
All right. That was number one, that was a politically correct answer, which I'm giving you some credit for. And number two, you're thinking global, right? Because I think you've got huge upside, right? I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I've told Wes, and I just told you during the break before we brought you on, that there had to be at least a half dozen times this past football season – Wes always promotes every ACC game, not only the game, but the announcers. I'm like, well, can't we just kick so-and-so out and bring in Kristen McFarland for the weekend? And because I know that's what you want to do. And I think you got a chance to be a star. I really do. I mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. That means more to me than you'll know.
All right. All right. So let's get right to it. I mean, it's not like it's live television on the ACC network or anything. So it's just really kind of between us. So you guys win the national championship, right? Are we coming back and playing the super senior sixth year? Or are we gonna? What are we gonna do here? Are we gonna go pro? Are we gonna start real life and worry about taxes and all that? What are we gonna do?
I'm not ready to worry about those taxes yet. You know, I said I'm gonna ride off my mom's phone bill till I can't anymore. But I plan on playing professional soccer in Europe, and I'm kind of building that foundation right now and figuring out where I'm going. Nothing is final yet, but I'm going to head overseas.
All right, now that opens up another question. That opens up a whole different story now. So in a perfect world, we go Nike, global company, makes sense. Soccer star, want to do some television. If we do Europe, give me the perfect locale in Europe. You got carte blanche. You pick.
Okay. I would love, and I've been there twice. I visited twice. I would love to play in the Netherlands. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I love their little countryside, bike riding people. You know, I think it's perfect.
My wife and I, we just went to Amsterdam 2 years ago. And let me tell you something.
It's a fun place.
It's happening, isn't it? It's a cool spot.
Right. Yeah. You can get in a little bit of trouble there, but it's fun.
No. I can't get in any trouble. You could get into some trouble.
You could.
Yeah. You're right.
All right.
Well, we wish you the best.
Hey,
you
Kristen,
are a blast. You are great.
Really do. Absolutely. Have a great event. We're looking forward to following you guys. Tell Coach hello for us, and we look forward to seeing what's happening. Maybe we get you back on this. Oh, yes, sir.
One more thing, because now Kristen's got me thinking. Now, here's the deal, Kristen. If it all works out, you win the national championship, you say, hey, you know what? I'm taking my skills to Amsterdam. Here's the deal. If you go over there and it works out, I'm going to need a person to supply me stroopwafels because they are the greatest. You know, they try to do them here in the States, and they're not the same. So if it all works out, I'm going to allow you to figure out a way to send me directly as many as I can handle. Can we work that out?
I can work on that. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I can do that.
We'll make that happen. That sounds like a deal right there. Love it.
Perfect.
All right, Kristen. Stay safe. Thanks as always. Great to see you again.
Thank you so much. You guys take care.
Be good.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Friday. It's tons of stuff happening. I'm telling you, you pick a sport, we got it going on. Want football? Got it. Baseball? Mm-hmm. Got it. Softball? Got it. Lacrosse? Yes. Golf? Mm-hmm. I mean, name it. Field hockey? Tennis? You name it. It's happening this weekend.
Yep.
It was happening last night in lacrosse, men's and women's action. And we keep bragging about how great the teams are. And we talked about that Duke and Notre Dame men's game. But you know what? The lead in to it was BC Syracuse on the ladies' side in the Dome. And BC takes care of business. And our next guest with the game winner, Jen Medjid, joins us now front and center. And there she is with her smiling face. Jen, a good morning. Hope life's treating you well. So you get the game winner. How easy is it to go to sleep with all the excitement that, hey, I took care of it? Great team win. But I got the winning goal. How tough is that to calm down after a game like that one?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It was an awesome win. Anytime you beat Syracuse, it's a great win. So it was really exciting.
Jen, when this season started, everybody knew it was going to be different. These double games, the way the schedule kind of works, things like that. How's that been?
It's been really exciting. It's been tough, obviously. When you play in the ACC and you have to play a team twice within 4 days, it's really tough, but it's exciting and it prepares you for the biggest moment. So I think that's what we care about the most, and I think that's been awesome for us.
I want to go back to this game because this thing was back and forth. I mean, you had no earthly idea who was going to win this deal. It's just been amazing to watch the lacrosse in this league. It seems like it just feels like every match is like, all right, 5 minutes to go. Let's go make a play. Whoever makes the last play wins. And, of course, you took care of business last night. Do you ever feel nervous when the game's going on? Or, hey, when it happens, it just happens?
Definitely nervous beforehand. I think during the game you're just so in the zone and you're so in it. And, again, it's like every ACC team is so good. So you kind of have to be so focused and so into the game, and just like while it's happening, it's just happening. So it's more fun than nervous.
All right, but let's cut the chase here a little bit on what you guys have been doing. If I got this right, in the last 28 days, basically, you tied the single game goal scoring record in BC history, right? In a game, right? You did that. In fact, you tied Sam Apuzzo's record, and she's a GA, right, with the program.
Correct.
Okay?
Yep.
And then like 12 days ago, Charlotte put 10 on the board against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. You got the game winner yesterday. So Sam's sitting over there thinking, you know, I thought I was pretty good. And now you and Charlotte are obliterating just about everything she did from a scoring perspective. How's that been? Because you guys are putting on a show every time you play.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think it's you have to give them credit, too, when you have coaches like Kayla Trainer and Sam Apuzzo. It's hard not to execute. It's hard not to play well. But I think it's really exciting, and Charlotte's a superstar. But I think it goes to say a lot about everyone on our team. You know, you shut off Charlotte, and you have to be aware of Kara Urbank. You have to be aware of Freshen Bell Smith. You have to be aware of our middies to step in. So I think it goes to say a lot about everyone on our team and everyone on our offense.
Jen, we've had fun with a number of women's lacrosse players in the ACC regarding the celebration after scoring. Some, you know, lay the stick gently down on the floor, like, you know, it's a baby. Some are tossing that thing like, hey, you know what, it's trash in New York City. What is your game plan or approach in the celebratory aspect after scoring?
For me, I think I kind of just throw my hands up from what I'm seeing right now and draw my stick. I don't really have any rhyme or rhythm to it, but I know some girls do.
So moving forward, hey, that's just who I am. That's my personality. Or do you think that, hey, you know what? Want a little bit more attention. Maybe I need to come up with some creative toss. Or do you give that any thought whatsoever?
Yeah, maybe one day. We'll see.
Because you know you're going to score. Listen, the one thing I know is going to happen when BC plays is you and Charlotte are going to light up the scoreboard. That I know is going to happen. So it's going to be a deal that, you know, maybe you go too crazy because it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be throwing this thing down in about another 2 minutes because I'm going to score again. Maybe that's the mindset that you just like, hey, you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to chill with this thing. I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Give that one some thought.
Hey, Jen. Yeah. Here's the other thing. You guys, we mentioned this earlier in the show. You guys are pretty much in a situation where, you know, your conference standing is solidified for the most part tomorrow with the last game of the regular season. Is that kind of different? I mean, are you just playing it as a single game and let's see what we can do type deal? Because obviously there's bigger fish here, you know, at the end of the season too. You guys want to get in the national tournament, and we've talked about it. We think it's possible the ACC could dominate both the men's and women's lacrosse events. It's been that kind of year, though, where it's a little different. So how do you handle the last game of the regular season knowing it's the team you just played yesterday?
Right. Yeah. I think that obviously we're trying to win. We're trying to win every game, but we're taking it one game at a time. And this is the last game of our season. And even though we solidified our spot in the ACC, I think this one's just as important for the NCAA because in the big picture, we're trying to win the national championship. So another one would just help us out even more.
Jen, and this may be a goofy question given the pandemic on campus and stuff, but do other students know who you are on campus?
I think so. I don't know. There's a lot of BC Women's Lacrosse fans on campus, so I think everyone enjoys watching us play.
And so the reason I ask you that question is because I know the enrollment's smaller, so everybody kind of knows everybody. It's not like there's 35,000 students walking around plus the pandemic and the Zoom classes. I get all that stuff. But I always find it interesting with the Olympic sports. Because, you know, football and basketball players, hey, they're on TV all the time. And now we got this network and sports like lacrosse are receiving so much airplay. I'm always curious if other students recognize who you are. And again, I'm not trying to give you the big head. Like, hey, I'm some big superstar.
No, yeah.
You're just going to class, having a good time. Life is great. But, I mean, you are somebody. So I'm always curious how other students recognize you during the course of a day.
Yeah. I would say Yeah, definitely. The women's lacrosse game is definitely growing, and I think people are just becoming more fans of the sport, which is great for us. So I think as we become more known and on BC, our team becomes more known just by winning year in and year out. I think that helps a lot. So.
Yeah, well, it's a terrific sport. We've enjoyed talking about it to kind of set the table for both the men's and women's season in ACC lacrosse. Jen, you've obviously played a long time, and you understand kind of how the sport works from a national perspective. Mark and I visited with Charlotte, obviously, who's from Texas. Megan Carney, who played at Syracuse, she's from Texas. You're from, like, Garden City, New York, where they've been playing lacrosse for generations. I don't ever recall Texas being a hotbed of lacrosse, but obviously it's doing pretty well. So take me through how many different parts of the country, how fast you think the sport's growing when you grew up playing it in an area where it's got a lot of history.
Right. Like you said, Long Island has always been known for lacrosse, but I think it's on the up and coming everywhere, Texas, California, Midwest. So I think just to see it growing and it, like, our game growing, I think it's awesome. And I think eventually, like, it'll be a sport that every little girl wants to play, and we see that now. So I think it's so awesome for our sport to get the recognition it deserves.
By the way, when we had Charlotte on, I told her, I said, you know, up there in Boston, you can't find any Texas brisket. Are you going to be able to help her with that culture up there in Boston? Because it's a whole different universe.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely different up here.
All right, before we let you go, traditional question on the show. We do this with every student athlete. Since you've been at BC, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class? Probably finance.
Finance? I'm not sure we've had a finance, Wes. We've had some financial management. So what did you find so difficult about that?
It's just the hardest business class I've taken at BC. I'm not a finance major, so I don't think it was for me.
Well, I'll tell you what.
There you go.
You all keep lighting up that scoreboard. You may find out that finance might be something you're really interested in. we wish
Jen,
you the best.
Congratulations. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You got it, Jen. Take care.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being a part of Packer and Durham on a Friday. Jen Medjid is from Garden City, New York. Pack, do you remember an ACC basketball player from the early 1970s who was from Garden City, New York?
From Garden City, New York. I should know that. Give me a hint. North Carolina.
Yeah?
Right?
I'm going to double check this.
I was thinking Michael Korn, but he was from New Jersey, I thought.
No, he was from Jersey City.
Jersey City. I was going to go with Korn, but that's not right. Uh-oh. Here we go, trivia. It's trivia time. You know how much trivia. Can I get some sharp objects in the room? Let me get our sports Emmy that we won last year. Hold on a second. Wait a minute.
I tell you what we're going to do.
Let me get my sports Emmy.
Top of that sports Emmy in the eye.
See this right here? These sharp objects right here? These points? This is where I put my eye when we start doing trivia on Packer and Durham. I stick them right in my eyeball. That's why I leave our...
Right there. Yeah, I know.
Last year's winner right there for the best live studio show in the basement with dogs. This is what won last year. And again, glad to be nominated again this year.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Wes is still asking questions and we're still looking for answers. We'll get to it. 844-SAY-ACCN.
I tell you what, I'll have the answer. How's that?
You let me know when you find that answer to your trivia question. That'd be good. In case you missed
it. I had it pop in my head. I thought I knew and I didn't. Full disclosure. I thought I knew. It was in my head as this guy was from Garden City, New York. This is what happens when you do this for a living. And at the end, they're not. And so then I started resetting, and that gets dangerous in my life when I start resetting, trying to figure it out. Anyway,
with that
just
said,
being honest, that's what we are here. Fully transparent on this show, as we say.
Totally transparent. With that said, in case you missed it, Kenny Pickett, the outstanding quarterback for Pitt, made his fourth appearance, tying him with Buddy Boeheim in the active appearance list on the program. And we asked Kenny yesterday, man, you got all those offensive weapons coming back. Tell you what, 2021 should be a great deal of fun as the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we added guys that I haven't played with really, you know, extensively in Lucas Kroll and Jalen Barden, and, you know, having another year with Jordan Addison in the spring, and then we have our veteran guys with Wayne and Shockey and Taysir Mack. So I think we have a lot more pieces than I've ever had here, and I'm really excited to get to this season.
All right, let's get to Saturday in this respect, because Pittsburgh's part of our ACC spring football triple header here on the network on Saturday. We talked to Coach Whipple, Roddy, and Eric and I did yesterday, and we talked to you, and it sounds like there's some real negotiations that's been going on here as to how much string you're going to get on Saturday based on these Roman Empire scrimmages that Narduzzi's had leading up to this. So how much do you want to play? How much are you negotiating to play? How tough a conversation has that been for Saturday?
I mean, I would play the whole game if it was up to me. We'll see. I think they told me three plays, but if I get a first down, I think I'll stay in there and keep it going. So we'll see what happens.
Now, you got to understand, today is a coach's birthday. So, you know, I'm not sure from a negotiating standpoint, maybe you come in there with a dozen cupcakes or something. I don't know what you're going to do, but you might be able to get on his good side. The fact that you're back, Kenny, let me tell you something. You can't deliver anything else to Pat other than the fact that you got another year of eligibility. You said, hey, listen, I'm coming back. And with that said, why? Man, I mean, you could have said, hey, you know what? I'm ready to go to the next level. So why come back for another year?
I think it was a family decision, and, you know, Coach Narduzzi and Coach Whipple are really a part of my family, and I took, you know, their word and their advice that they gave me to heart, and I went back home for a couple of days and had a chance to talk to everybody in my tight circle, and at the end of the day, I just didn't like where I was in the draft. I feel like I'm a much better player than what I was projected, so I'm excited to come back and aim for winning a championship here and just improving that.
Kenny, there's also the value of getting better, right? And sometimes when you're the starting quarterback in a major college program, it puts you in a position to evolve even to another level, especially with a guy like Mark Whipple. I mean, what's he meant just in terms of the last couple of years and your progress as a quarterback?
Yeah, he's been huge in my progress and my development. I think he really turned my career around when he came in. I watched a lot of tape, you know, from his time at UMass, and I couldn't wait to play in his offense. I knew their quarterback at the time, Andrew Ford, so I got on the phone with him as soon as I knew Coach Whipple was going to be our guy. And, you know, he told me everything that he taught him along the way, and I was just really excited for it. So, obviously, another year under his wing and, you know, learning a pro-style NFL offense, I think it'll only, you know, help me in the future.
Kenny, I know it's the ultimate team game, but it seems different with Pittsburgh for going into 21. I mean, a year ago, assuming we're going to have a season, I mean, really all the hype was, man, have you seen that defensive line at Pittsburgh? Goodness gracious, they got NFL dudes left and right. And, of course, we're going to find that out a week from now when the NFL draft starts. But it was almost as if the offense got overshadowed a bit based on the hype. And, again, I know it's the ultimate team game. Seems now as we fast forward it to this year, it's going to be the Pitt offense that people are talking about, maybe more so than the defense. Does it feel that way to you?
I'm really not sure. I try not to pay too much attention to the media. I know we had a lot of really good players on defense, and, you know, we have a lot of really good players on offense. So I think when we're all healthy and we're all together, I think we're going to be a really tough team going into this season. You know, it was really competitive spring, and it'll be a really competitive summer and summer camp. So we'll just keep that rolling until, September comes.
All right. Jordan Addison had a phenomenal season a year ago. You've mentioned Taysier. Who else has caught your eye here in the spring? Give us a guy or two, maybe, Kenny, we're not thinking about. And by the way, it could be in the offensive line too, because I know you lost some valuable guys there.
Right. I'll start with the offensive line. I think Marcus Minor coming in as a transfer really, really helped us. You know, we didn't really skip a beat up front, I'd say, when he came in. And obviously Lucas Kroll, a tight end that, you know, we really haven't had a big time tight end since I've been here, and he's come in and done an unbelievable job. Receivers, some guys that stepped up, I'd say Jalen Barden, first guy that comes to mind. He's, you know, a really explosive player. Jared Wayne has had a really, really good spring. So I think, you know, the veteran guys took a step and we had some young guys step up. So, we have a lot more pieces now, and I'm looking forward to, you know, just more development this summer.
Kenny, we were talking yesterday, and I think Pac would be interested in hearing this. Just kind of take us through the summer, because the evolution of playing quarterback in major college football and wanting to go to the next level. I mean, you talked about going to California to work out for a couple of weeks, doing some things with the Manning camp. I mean, all these little elements that go into developing your game. Take us through kind of what the offseason and summer is going to be like. I know you mentioned Jordan Palmer and then – and then some things with the Manning camp tour. How valuable is that kind of stuff in an off season for you?
It's huge. It's, you know, it's really valuable. I just want to learn from as many people as I can. And I was talking to Jordan, you know, during the season, he asked me to come out and train. You know, it's a no brainer. He's got a ton of great guys out there, and he's a really bright mind in QB development. So I'll go out to his place in LA for a few days. I have the Manning camp in July. And then on top of that, it's just working with my team and getting more timing down, more continuity with the guys I'll be playing with. I think it's a great opportunity to watch film on opponents. I think I spend a lot of time in the winter and spring days, you know, studying myself and what I can improve on. And closer to the season, you know, I can start getting a jump on the teams that we're going to be playing early on. So I think there's a lot of areas that, you know, you can improve on and a lot of things that you can do in the summer. Definitely not be bored. So it's just another phase of the offseason that we'll have to check off here soon.
So what was the one thing that popped off in that conversation to you that you learned that you said, you know what, I really do need to work on that? That you came to grips by, because, I mean, listen, if you're a quarterback, you got to be mentally tough and get the fact that, guess what, ball's in my hand, I got to make plays. But so what's one of the things you learned from those conversations that you went, you know what, he's right, I got to work on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the biggest thing was pocket, you know, mechanics, pocket footwork. I think, you know, when I have my feet under me, I can get my feet in the right, you know, position. I'm one of the best in the country, and I'm athletic enough to get outside of the pocket and make all the plays. So, you know, this spring was a huge emphasis on that. I'd add in the red zone too. You know, we have to be better in the red zone. It starts with me being more accurate down there and giving our guys a chance to make plays. So I think I took a step in, you know, both directions, and as a team, we took a step in the right direction in the red zone. You know, just continue to work on it, and, you know, I got a few more months to get to where I need to be.
Pat Narduzzi is glad he's back. Makes life a lot easier when you know you got the quarterback with experience, and Kenny, of course, should have a great season in 21.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.